few seconds here. Yeah, there's a lot of pages. I don't think we're going to get through it all. All right, Matthew chapter 24. We left off in verse 15. We're still in verse 15, trying to put together some scriptures to see what might this abomination of desolation be. Some say it's when the Antichrist is sitting in the temple of God. But I don't know if that's it. I mean, it could be, but we saw some scriptures last week that shows that there's some people that, you know, the Antichrist has. They're called his arms. They set up an image, or they set up the abomination that make it desolate. Okay, we saw that in Daniel. I think it's chapter 11. And we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that we would glean something out of here, out of your words, to maybe help us better understand what's going to happen in the future, Lord. And yeah, it may not, there may not be practical stuff here for us to glean in our lives. Maybe there is. We pray, Lord, that you would draw that out as well. But you said to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we're doing, Lord. And we pray that you be with us while we do that, and that you would guide us and direct us and help us to understand a little bit more about what's coming down the line for your people and the world, Lord, and the world. And we pray, Lord, that we would have an open eyes and open heart to your words this morning. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. The Bible says, when ye therefore, verse 15, Matthew 24, 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Okay? And then he says, let them, verse 16, which be in Judea, flee into the mountains. So this is something that's going to, it looks like it's going to be visible to some. All right, but it may not be visible to all, and we'll read Daniel chapter 11 here. We'll see this here. We'll start in verse 30, and we're gonna read down a few verses so you can kind of get some of this information, and we'll reference back to it. The Bible says, verse 30: For the ships of Chittim shall come against him; therefore he shall be grieved, and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So this is the Antichrist. He's at war with somebody here. I don't know who it is, but we know that there's going to be wars. There's going to be world wars going on at this time. We know from last week we saw in Luke that there's armies surrounding Jerusalem before the abomination of desolation happens. So there's armies surrounding this nation here. And here's this Antichrist. He's going out to conquer peoples, and he's being fought against. The people are holding him back from doing this. And return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. So it's almost like he's conspiring with people, Jews. He's conspiring with his own, or with the Jews. The Bible says, and those are those that are forsaking the holy covenant. Okay, I don't know what that means, but they've forsaken it, and basically they're siding with the Antichrist, and. And they're getting ready to do something here in this temple. And the Bible says, an arm shall stand on his part, verse 31, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of Does it say mine? The sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. So these are people that have sided with the Antichrist. He's told them his plan. He's told them their plan on what he wants to do. He wants to break the covenant. Okay? And then it looks like these people that he has sided with are going to place this abomination that maketh desolate. The Bible says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. And are these words or are these the signs and wonders? Do Jews seek after a sign? And we know that the Antichrist is going to have signs and wonders, and he's going to be given all power to do these things. We've saw the verses on that. And so these flatteries, he's going to corrupt by flatteries. He's going to deceive, and God's going to give those that don't believe the truth, he's going to send them strong delusion. And how does he do that? We saw a little bit last week. He uses the Antichrist. He gives them all power, and he allows them to deceive with signs and wonders. So much so that he could even deceive the elect if it were possible. Okay? But those that he deceives are not the elect, because the elect aren't deceived. Okay? The Bible says, because it's not possible for him to do that. If it were possible, the Bible says, and we'll see that in Matthew 24 here in a little bit, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. When? When they place the abomination that maketh desolate, verse 31. There's going to be people that know their God, that have had repentance toward Him. They know Him. What's one of the qualifications in 2 Thessalonians when Jesus comes back? He's going to destroy those that know not God. So these people know God. And so if the Lord were to come back, they wouldn't be destroyed. These people know God and shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand amongst the people shall instruct many. Okay, so here's one group that know their God, verse 32. Here's another group, verse 33, that shall instruct many, yet shall they fall by the sword, and by the flame, by captivity, by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. You've got false prophets, you've got false Christ, you've got the Antichrist performing miracles in the tribulation. And it doesn't say that these that understand know their God. See what I'm saying? There's different sets of people here. And there's going to be people that understand that, hey, this thing shouldn't be in the temple. This image shouldn't be. I'm thinking it's an image because it shouldn't be there. Something shouldn't be in the temple. The Antichrist shouldn't be sitting on the seat of God, the mercy seat. But the Bible says that when you see the abomination of desolation stand. So this thing is standing in the temple. It's not sitting. It's standing. And so, again, we saw a little bit. I gave the reference in Daniel 3:1. Nebuchadnezzar made an image. He made an image. And if you go there, you'll see Daniel 3:1. And this image was, you're going to see it was pretty tall here. It's about 90 feet tall in our measurements, standard of measure, but it's 60 cubits. But Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. And the breadth thereof, 6 cubits. So there's a height and a breadth. So it looks like it's a round cylinder going up into the sky. Okay, because it doesn't give any other measurements for this thing. He set it in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs. Wow, that's interesting. And all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So there's a dedication here. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So here's this thing, 70 cubits, about 90 feet tall. What, a cubic's about 18 inches? Four from the tip of your finger to the bottom of your elbow. So it's about 90 feet tall. And 16 feet wide or something like that. But, I mean, the thing about it is it's tall. It can be seen. It can be seen from a distance. Now, I don't know how far of a distance you can see something, but this thing can be seen, and there's a dedication done unto it. So people and nations have come around to see this thing. Okay? They've called for a dedication. And if you kind of see what's happened before in history, you can kind of understand what's going to happen in the future, okay? And we went through a little bit about where the holy place was, and the Bible talks about the holy place being in the court of the temple. So it's not actually inside the temple; it's on the outside of the temple that was considered the holy place. That's where the priests would eat. And we saw a little bit about that last week. But this image here is about 90 feet tall, and it's tall enough for people to see at a distance, for people to gather at this dedication and see this thing standing. And so what it looks like is that the image that the Antichrist has the people of the earth make, and you find that in Revelation 13:14, he has the people of the earth make him an image. It looks like this is going to be tall enough for people to see this thing standing in the holy place. When if they were to call a dedication, people could come around and for a certain distance see this thing in the temple, beyond the temple walls. Now, there's going to be people that understand that this thing that's standing in the holy place is something that shouldn't be there. All right? And they're going to go around and they're going to tell others. But God commanded when you see this thing, you're to flee Judea. Don't stick around and tell others. You get out of Dodge, and if on your way out you see somebody, then you tell them, but you don't, you know, you just keep going. You don't stick around in the city and try to help others. Because we just read in Daniel 11 that there's going to be some that know their God and they do exploits. They're going to get out. They're going to get out. And they're the ones that are going to be part of the remnant that get to the mountains. And then there's going to be others that understand, hey, what's this graven image in the temple? What's one of the Ten Commandments? Yeah. Something, there's going to be, Jews are going to understand, hey, this thing shouldn't be there. But they might not understand to flee. And they might be wanting to do good things and help others. But God told them to get out of there. And so we saw in Daniel 11 that there's going to be, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, and by captivity, and by spoil many days. And some of them, verse 35, of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white. which shows you that even though they didn't make it out and they didn't become the part of the remnant that endured to the end, they're made white. They're white. And we read in Revelation there's going to be some that make their robes white. Their robes white. And so this is something that's happening that, to them to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And so there's some that make it to the mountains that are saved, and there's some that don't make it to the mountains that are saved. And they have understanding, and there's some of understanding that are going to be deceived. They're going to be deceived. And those are going to be Jews. They're going to be deceived with the signs and the wonders. But they're going to understand that this image shouldn't be in this temple. Now, after this image is put up in the holy place, then the Antichrist comes in. Then he comes in, because you have this thing that is placed, verse 31. They place the abomination that maketh desolate, Daniel 11, 31. Verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. That's when he goes in and sits on the mercy seat. He's claiming to be God. And you find that in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. And that's when the son of perdition is revealed after that man of sin. The man of sin had to have died already. The soul and the spirit of that man has to be gone for the devil to come in and the spirit of Antichrist to come in that man. They have full control over that body. There's no will of man in there. It's got to be gone. And but that's that business of that deadly wound to the head you find in Revelation 13, 14. And so this man of sin is revealed to that Jew as the son of perdition when he sits on the throne of God. Now in Daniel 11, you have people that know their God. They are strong and they do exploits. You find in Daniel 11:32 we just read, and they are the ones that obey Matthew 24:16 and 17 or 16, and they get out of Dodge 17 and 18. They obey those verses and they flee. They flee Judea, and those are the ones that endure to the end. These others understand what's being done in the temple is wrong. And they go and help their fellow brothers. But they're disobeying the commands of God. And they fall. Okay? So we see that. And then there's others that are deceived by the miracles. And let's see. We've already covered that. Go back, if you would, to Matthew. And there's others that are, when presented with death and torture, Daniel 11, 25, they're the ones that make their robes white. They're made white by the affliction that they're going through. And they don't crack and they don't worship the beast. And so, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Matthew 24, verse 16, that then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountain. According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's going to be just enough time for those who have knowledge of what's to be in the temple and what's to be not in the temple to understand that when they see the evil, to get out of Dodge. Go with me, if you would, to Job 28. This is the understanding that they have. Job 28:28. And we can understand this today, but the understanding that these Jews are going to have is 28:28. The Bible says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." And those that have understanding, that know God, are going to know that when they see the evil, when they see this graven image put up in the temple, that's an evil and they need to leave. They've been betrayed. They've been betrayed by their own fellows, their own brothers, Jewish blood brothers. Maybe they're not brothers in Christ, but blood brothers, they are been betrayed because their own people have set this up. The Antichrist has had intelligence with the people within the area of Judea because they allow this thing to be set up in this temple. And they're going to know they need to leave. And those are the people that they don't stick around telling everybody. They might tell people on the way out, but they don't stick around to try and help all their brothers. They get out of Dodge. Okay? And the fear of the Lord that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Hey, in this life, folks, there's a time to hold them and a time to fold them, right? It's a time where you just got to go. And when that Jew sees the temple desecrated in the tribulation, apparently there's going to be some in the fields. You're going to find this in Matthew 24:17-18. There's some in the fields and there's some on the housetops that they're going to see this thing happening. And if there's a dedication, they're all going to be called to this thing. But I believe if this thing is something, if this is an image and it's a tall image, which I believe it's going to be, it's going to be for people to see over the wall, because not everybody's allowed inside the walls of the temple. Not everybody's allowed in there. And I think it's going to be something standing above that wall so that people can see. And you realize today how easy it would be to stand an image that's 90 foot tall in a temple court, or even 150 foot tall, or 200 foot tall. You realize how easy it would be to do that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, it took him a while to do that. But it's very easy to do this, folks. I mean, we set, I don't know how many pieces of equipment at BP that's over 150 feet tall. Towers. I mean, towers that are huge. And I just got off a job at U.S. Steel. I mean, we're up 300 feet up in the air. And they're setting things that you wouldn't believe with a 200-ton crane. You know how long it takes to set a 200-ton crane up in an area to lift an object that's over 150, 200 feet tall? 4 hours. It takes 4 hours to set a crane up. And if it's something that weighs 1,500 tons, it takes about 4 days to set that up. 4 days. And you don't even know what's going on until, you know, everything is low to the ground until they stand that crane up. And it takes maybe an hour to set something. An hour. Once the preparation's done. You don't even know what's going on until the crane's up in the air. 1 minute you're looking this way. The next minute this thing's standing. The next minute it's sitting down. And the crane is loose and the crane is down and this thing is just standing there. It's very simple to do something like this. One day it's there and one day it wasn't there and the next day it's there. And we're not looking at Bible days when they were using people with ropes, right, and building massive mounds of dirt to haul things up with on logs. We're talking about modern technology here, future. They've got this stuff now, and so it's not going to be hard. Verse 16 in Matthew chapter 24, verse 16. The Bible says, "Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains." They are to flee into the mountains. Revelation 12, 14 and 15, and Jeremiah 50, 19 and 20. These mountains is the wilderness area. Revelation 12, 14. And like I said, I mean, this is just doctrinal stuff. It's some of it's boring and just drawn out, but and it seems like it's repetition. But we just, as we're going verse by verse, we just go verse by verse and try to give sense and find authority for what's being said. 12:14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent, face of the Antichrist. Antichrist is the devil incarnate at this time. And so there are a lot of places to hide in mountains, folks. And those that have brought war against those that are live near mountains, they lose. They lose. I mean, look at the Vietnam War. You got a bunch of people in a woods digging tunnels. They have knowledge of the landscape. They have knowledge of how to hide and how to fight. And don't forget, Jerusalem's surrounded by armies here. And Israelites, man, when there's war, the children have guns. The women have guns. The men have guns. And they carry them around with them at all times. When there's war, that whole nation fights. No God or not no God. They fight, all right? But if you're in the mountains, folks, those that are on high ground have an advantage over those that are chasing them from the low ground. And the advantage is they have sight. They have sight. And God tells them, you get to the mountains. Get to the mountains. He says, you flee Judea, get to the mountains. And if you don't have to look for food or water, which we're going to find, God's going to provide provision for them. If you don't have to look for food or water because you have God supplying those needs to you, then you're not exposed to the enemy. You're not exposed to the enemy. But those that are trying to capture you, they have to be constantly moving, constantly trying to gain ground. And so they are constantly exposed. Now you can imagine how a small amount of people can hold off armies of people in the mountains. There's wars that are... look at the Iraqi war. War in Afghanistan. Look how long that took. I mean, look at the Vietnam War. Look at how long these wars take. 3.5 years? That's nothing for a small amount of people in the mountains. They can hold off armies for a long period of time up there, especially if they don't have to find food or water, right? They can hold off people for a long period of time, and they do. But they're commanded that they're not to go down. If they're on the house when they see this, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Listen, folks, if they see this, think you got to kind of think about this temple being the center of news, okay? And when people see this, whether it's a dedication or not, they're going to see this. They're going to be standing on their houses. They're going to be out in the fields. They're going to be surrounding this temple looking for as far as you can see. See, I mean the temple. And when this thing happens, and when they uncover it, whatever it is, whether it's an image of a person or a statue or an obelisk, I think it's going to be an image of a person, of the beast, or of a dragon or something, because it's given life, the Bible says in Revelation. But whenever they see this thing, they're to get down, not even go into the house and take anything out, because they're not going to have time. I mean, when you have the center, and you have this thing, and then you have people start fleeing, I mean, you see what I'm saying? They're not going to have time to get out if they go in to get anything, because they're going to start attacking them. They're going to start attacking them. And they're going to start coming to get them. But they're to flee the mountains, and they're not to take anything with them. They're going to be people on the housetop. that see this thing happen, and they have to understand that they're to flee evil, and they have to understand that God is going to provide for them. They don't need to take anything. And if they know their history, and they know their history with Pharaoh, when the nation of Israel was leaving Egypt, God took care of the nation. He took care of them. He fed them, provided them water, the clothes on their backs, didn't wax old. And you're going to see the next verse. Neither let him, which is in the field, return back to take his clothes. Why? Because the clothes on their back, what's ever on their persons, is going to be sufficient for that Jew. So they're going to need to be content with that. They're going to have to be content. The Bible gives us plenty of Bible verses. Hey, having food and raiment, therewith be content. And those that aren't content are more worried about worldly possessions at that time. They're going to be caught. They're not going to make it. Those that trust God and say, hey, he said to leave. Don't go back in. Don't waste any more time. Get out of here. But they're to be content with that. Verse 18. And woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, the Bible says. But that Jew, if it's winter time, that Jew is going to be dressed for the cold if he's outside on the housetop or in the field. However, if it's a nice spring day out, one may have left his raincoat or their sweater and at home. And God says, you're not to go back and get that. You're going to be caught. Now picture for a moment you have the Jewish temple one day. There's no image in the temple court. The next day, there is, and they're calling for a dedication. And the people that know God, when they see this, they're going to go. People that understand that this shouldn't be there, they're going to start talking. Right? That's how easy it's going to be for people to get caught up in not obeying God. And that's going to be the difference between those that endure to the end and those that don't. Not saying that those that don't endure to the end aren't saved. We know some of them are. And we know some of them are. Because they're deceived with flatteries. But the ones that endure to the end are the ones that obey 16, 17, and 18 in Matthew chapter 24. They're the ones that they don't stop along the way to instruct others as recorded in Daniel. They're the ones that when they see or hear what's been done at the temple, they get to the mountains where God provides for them. They're the ones that don't stop at Go to collect $200, right? They don't stop. And if this Jew does what God commands, then God feeds him. He provides water for him, and he clothes him. And you find that back in Deuteronomy 8, 3 and 4. Or he keeps their clothes from going waxing old. Deuteronomy 8, 3 and 4. Verse 19, and woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Now, why is this verse put here? You know, family is very important to God. And we're almost done, so give me a few more seconds. We'll get through this verse. It's very important to God, in God's eyes. God ordained a family before he ordained a church. And so it's so important that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:33 that he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Folks, it's natural for a man when he hears about what's happening in the temple in this age, in future, when he hears about what's happening in the temple to go back home to help his family. And is there anything wrong with that? No, I don't think so. Because like I said before, there are people that don't endure to the end that are saved. They don't take the mark of the beast and they know God and they've trusted in Christ. They're saved. And they're tried, and they're tortured, but they get through it. Jeremiah 16:1-2, and we're done. This is what happens to children, to families during the tribulation. Not all of them, but some of them this is going to happen to. The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcass shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. That's what's going to happen to the Jew in the tribulation with families. That's why the Bible says, woe, grievous deaths are coming. Jeremiah 16:1-4. And we'll go ahead and stop there now, and we'll pick up in verse 20 next week. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the great opportunity you've given this generation, Lord, the generation before this tribulation starts, that we can escape this judgment, and we're thankful for that, Lord, and we're thankful that you provided a lamb, your son, to die on the cross for our sins and to be resurrected, Lord, and we're grateful for that, and you just command us to believe that, and we get out of here. We get out of here before all this trouble starts. And if there's any that's unsaved here today, Lord, we pray that they would get saved. They can escape this judgment. They can escape it. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.